Thank you very much indeed for inviting me to make a presentation and give a lecture on open regionalism. When I arrived here in the Philippines, I feel that this is just like my home because of the hospitality, warm hospitality, the nature, and the kindness of Filipino people. So this is really the factor, regionalization or ASEAN as a one community, because we are all people, have the same feeling, have the same sentiment, and also we will go together to attain our objective hand in hand, right? So the open regionalism is one of the legal and economic aspect to discuss about what it is the open regionalism, what is the impact towards our regionalization, and what should we prepare for the near future, because another 3 more years that the ASEAN will become one region as a single market and single community. So first of all, we would like to know and understand what is open regionalism and why. So ASEAN is not an economic community like European Union, which is created as a block or closed block economic unity, because any preferential treatment granted among the member will not extend that to non-member. Unlike in the case of ASEAN, we have integrated within our region, but on the other hand, we liberalize the entry of trade investment and the inflow of capital, and further or later, the full liberalization of the movement of labor as well. So we just not created an economic community within our ASEAN, but we welcome non-member as well. So why this is the formulation of our ASEAN regionalization? Because for 60 or 50 years since the decolonization, and we have take place in international sphere, we have heavily depend on the external trade and investment. But increasingly that the intra-regional trade and investment also rising. So we need to balance between internal integration and external integration to integrate our region to the global economy. So this is the reason. Now, the meaning of open regionalism can be concluded that open regionalism means that regional economic intercourse is to be promoted if it is consistent with the global liberalization and not to detriment of other economies. So I will turn to talk about the instrument for the integration within ASEAN, which is the new scheme for economic cooperation in ASEAN. We have the main instrument, firstly, the ASEAN Free Trade Area or AFTA. Second is ASEAN Investment Area. Third is ASEAN Framework Agreement on Trade in Services or AFAS, and ASEAN Industrial Cooperation Scheme or ICO. So I will talk about this liberalization in brief because of a very limited of time. First, ASEAN Free Trade Area is mean one form of regional liberalization. So this area within the region will be obliged by the member country to remove on the barrier of trade and investment. So The barrier of trade and investment can be at the border or reduce the importing duty and non-duty or other barriers such as the regulatory differences or other barrier when the goods cross the border and move within the market of the importing country. So we have to remove on such kind of barrier for the goods itself. But in the case of investment, it's not just the barrier at the border, but also the entry of investment and investor. So other law and regulation have to be removed as well to propel the free flow of move of people, investment, capital, and labor. So the regionalization of ASEAN will based on the model which is regional industrialization program, under which the host country will granted the free entry of investor and investment. And they also when granted the national treatment. What is the national treatment? It means that the host country will treat the foreigner just as like as its own national. That is national treatment. And also the most favored nation treatment will be granted to the foreign investor or foreign good, which means that it will ensure the same treatment will be granted to all the foreigner and all foreign good. So the combination of national treatment and the most favored nation treatment will guarantee that all the goods on investment services will be treated the same or based on the non-discrimination process. So now we turn to discuss the consent of foreign investor. Generally, every host country will have the foreign restriction. Firstly, restricted area of investment, restricted entry and establishment, restricted foreign equity ratio and screening process, and also control on the operation of foreign investor. So this kind of restriction have to be removed. And the Shenzhen ASEAN investment has been promoted by the legal process. Firstly, to grant the national treatment to every investor and investment. Secondly, opening up of industry. And thirdly, we have the measure applicable to all investors. For example, to exempt the income tax or tax exemption, allow the 100% of foreign equity ownership, duty-free import of capital goods, domestic market access, and minimum industrial and threshold periods of 30 years, employment of foreign personnel. So this is also reflect what we have to prepare for the liberalization, because in 3 years after this, when the fully complete of the performance of the liberalization is mean that the labor can entry the ASEAN region from whatever country. So if we don't have the competitiveness, then we have no stand. So this is the very important thing. And also how the ASEAN investment area can be implemented. As I mentioned that it's not just only the investor from within the 10 ASEAN country can make establishment in one of ASEAN country, but the non-member country also be entitled to the preferential treatment. Why? Because under the AIA or ASEAN Investment Agreement, provided that any investor once established itself within any country of the ASEAN member will be regarded as ASEAN investor. Therefore, ASEAN investor can be freely further mobile within the 10 ASEAN countries. Also, the next is the cumulative ratio equity. Normally, every ASEAN country will have the restriction that the foreign shareholder can hold share not exceed the 49%, or some country only 40%. But within ASEAN investment area, the cumulative equity ratio can be cumulated as the ASEAN equity ratio. For example, if a hypothetical US company, which called Computec, has a Singapore subsidiary with local Singapore investor owning only 10%, it would need only additional 40% of local shareholding to meet the requirement in Malaysia for 50% local equity, and then only 1% to meet the Thai minimum of 51%. So it means that when it moves to Thailand, it needs only 1% of Thai shareholders. So it's enable the non-member to be an ASEAN investor and can be granted all the preferential treatment which is granted to the member country. Now, I move on to discuss about ASEAN Framework Agreement on Services. So this is the liberalization of trade in services. ASEAN commitment under the GATT, under the WTO, but however, under the ASEAN Framework, we have the GATT Plus scheme, and ASEAN service provider also give the definition of ASEAN service provider, provided that that service provider have a substantive business operation in either one ASEAN member country, then it can be regarded as ASEAN service provider as well. So, all of this mechanism can perform such a open regionalism because we don't have fence between member and non-member. Moreover, the mutual recognition and the AFAS have been implemented. What is the mutual recognition? This means that on the qualification, certificate, degree granted by its own nation will be mutually recognized by the ASEAN member country. For example, if you graduate from the Philippines, then it will be recognized by Indonesian, by Thailand, by Vietnam. So this is called mutual recognition. So this is to facilitate the free flow of labor or professionals. As you have known that now, medical doctor, surveyor, altogether seven professionals have been liberalized already. So, what is the mode of service trade? There are four modes of service trade. The first one is called cross-border supply, which means it is the services that cross the border. The second is called consumption abroad, which means that the consumer have to cross the border to consume the services in the country of service provider. And third, the commercial present, which is the investment by the service provider. And the fourth one is presence of natural person. It means that the service provider, which is natural person, will cross the border and provide service in the country of the consumer. So all of these four modes have to be liberalized by the host country. So it means that among the 10 ASEAN countries have to remove any barrier which ban or bar the free flow of these four modes of service provider or service provision. And as I have mentioned, any service provider once established in one ASEAN country can be regarded as ASEAN service provider, and then they can further free flow within the ASEAN member country. Now, I will move on to discuss ASEAN Industrial Cooperation or AICO, under which the investment was made between two minimum company in two different countries and registered under the ICO project. When produce any good, it will be entitled to 0 to 5% of import duty. So it means that all of the good produced under ICO will be entitled to the reduction of tariff. So tariff barrier will be removed for the product produced by the company under the ICO project. Now, you can see the general framework of the liberalization within ASEAN and encourage the inflow of trade and investment to balance the internal integration and also to liberalize the entry of trade flow, investment flow, capital flow, and labor flow or labor movement within the region. Now, I will move on to discuss about integration process. Integration process will focus on the four areas. The first one is institutional integration. You can read in the PowerPoint presentation. And secondly is policy integration. And third one is attitudinal integration. And finally, security integration. So we can see that actually ASEAN have been created nearly the creation of the EU, but we are slowly movement. We have a very slow pace of progress, and it is slowness by design. Now, because we are very cautious about become a supranational organization, even though de facto it has been implemented. But from legal point of view, the supranational institution have to be created. And that can be attained only by the political will of the ASEAN member country. Right. Now, the measure for to facilitate regionalization is to develop the administrative and legislative infrastructure necessary for the functioning of the market economy and the social unity of the ASEAN member country. Secondly, to strengthening of economic cooperation, social strengthen, support of private sector, both commercial and general people, facilitation and improvement of intra-regional trade concession and other social, environmental, and social-related issues. Now, also measure in the field of free movement of worker, capital, good, development of regional competition law and proceed. This is very important. Otherwise, only the big company can conquer the ASEAN economy. So we must have a fair competition law and regulation in order that the small and medium enterprises can also enter the market and can compete with them. Facilitation of the transfer of technology, managerial skill, and a better involvement of the private sector. The private sector participation in public infrastructure network project is necessary. In conclusion, a regional framework is necessary in order to promote increased order, certainty, and predictability in international transactions. Secondly, to construct regional economic integration is largely a problem of managing interdependent. Therefore, to generate a common political will in integration is necessary. Thirdly, the preliminary stage in formulating regional legal rules should focus on the harmonization of certain level of law through coordinated plan of member country, and to take preliminary steps to create an ASEAN legal regime. And finally, a further step would be to harmonize those national law or implement regulatory cooperation in certain areas that affect the implementation of ASEAN framework agreement and also related area of law to enable ASEAN members to have a similar rule governing economic activities. Therefore, the ASEAN model law could be achieved. So this is a brief lecture on legal aspect and economic aspect of open regionalism. Thank you very much for your attention.